Dear Lord, thank you, God, for bringing us together tonight for Lenten Bible study. Lord, I ask that you make our hearts, minds, and souls receptive to the lesson of forgiveness and repentance tonight. Lord, I'm going to ask that you magnify your instrument, Reverend Sharon, tonight, that she may be used for your purpose, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you give all of us the blessing of retention, that we may keep the information learned tonight through our walk with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, excited that Reverend Sharon Cheek is with us. Co-pastor, are you on the line?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and we can hear you. We're going to give the next about 40 minutes to you for presentation, and you can stop to ask questions and ask people to take the mute off, but that can get confusing, putting it back on. And then we want to leave 20 minutes for any dialogue, questions, or answers at the end of our call together. I want to thank you for agreeing to share with us in our Lenten study tonight as we look at forgiveness and the opportunity for repentance at the cross. So I now present to family, friends, co-workers, other pastors, other churches, the Reverend Sharon Cheek, co-pastor of Metropolitan Wesley AME Zion Church. Reverend Cheek, you can take it away.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Dr. Huggins, and just thank you to the Varick family, and thank you to each of you who are on the line on this evening. I do give God praise and thanks for the opportunity to be able to share with you during this Lenten season. Tonight's focus, again, the gift of forgiveness and the opportunity for repentance at the cross. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 39 through 43. And I'm going to lift up that text before we begin. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Mm-hmm. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And when we look at this particular text as we lead into our time tonight, our time of sharing, we see two thieves on the cross. Both had committed sins, both had committed crimes, and one recognizing fully that he indeed had committed his crime. And the other, seeming to blaspheme, had no sense of remorse, no sense of repentance. As a matter of fact, his actions were actions of mockery. He mocked Jesus, but yet there was one thief on the cross who was able to search his heart and searched his heart and his soul enough to recognize that I'm here because of what I've done, not because of anything anyone else has done to me, but because of what I've done. And I've committed this wrong, but here I stand, a man that stands between both of us. This man has committed no wrong. And so he basically was reaching out to Jesus at that moment at the cross, and he was saying, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, look at me. I am here repenting, and I believe at that moment that you can change my life. Even right now, knowing and understanding that death is approaching, but that you can forgive my sins." And Jesus did pardon his sins. Jesus did forgive his sins, and he said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise." Why would he make that statement? He made that statement because the man repented of his sins and was able to receive forgiveness. So he received eternal life, even at the last hour of his life. So we're going to look at the meaning of the cross. When it comes to our understanding of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no way to get around what the meaning of his death procured for humanity on the cross of Christ. There is no way that we can get around what the meaning of the cross stood for. I believe the challenge that we have in the body of Christ even today is because we've lost sight of what the cross of Calvary really stood for. Because every time we look at the cross, every time that cross, especially in our hearts, because that cross should always be a symbol in our hearts, that we would never forget what Jesus did and what that cross stood for as it relates to our lives. His death marked the beginning of renewal against humanity's ultimate transgression against God. And even though we're not going to go and look at Genesis, you can read that in your own spare time. But we know that Genesis was the beginning of humanity's death. And God had to come up with another plan to save humanity out of his love, out of his care for humanity. God decided to come up with another plan to save humanity. And Jesus was that plan. The cross was that plan. Humanity sinned against God, and God's cross was the plan of restoration to get humanity back into the presence of God. So whenever we think about the cross as it relates to our individual lives and as it relates to us collectively, we have to go back and remember that the cross was the restoration for us to get back into the presence. There is no way for us to enter the presence of God without the cross. We cannot enter the presence of God on our own. We can't shed any blood. There's nothing that we can do on our own without accepting what Jesus did on the cross that will get us back into the presence of God. We can't come to the presence trying to maneuver our way in. We can only come through what Jesus did on the cross. The blood is our way into the presence of God. The cross must be our model for forgiveness in every human relationship, amid the pain and the suffering that we will experience in this journey called life. The cross is always the model. The cross is always the model for our forgiveness. You know, there are times when you may hear people say, I can't forgive, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as we move forward. But if we ever in our hearts come to a point where we feel like we cannot forgive, because we're going to go through. Jesus never promised. There's nothing in the Word that has ever said we will not experience suffering and pain at the hands of others. There's nothing that says that Jesus suffered pain at the hands of others, and he did no wrong. He had no flaws in his life. Everything that he stood for was compassion and love, and yet he suffered. And he suffered unto death. And we are going to experience suffering individually and collectively. We're going to go through challenges in our families, because that's where a lot of that suffering begins. We're going to go through suffering on our jobs. We're going to go through suffering in the community. We're going to go through suffering even in our churches and with people that we least expected to inflict us in some kind of way. We're going to go through suffering. But when we go through, the model always is to take us back to the cross. Go back to the cross. Because the cross is where we need to go when we find ourselves in pain. What is forgiveness? So we're going to look at a couple of definitions of forgiveness. Merriam-Webster says, the act of giving up resentment of or claim to requital for something or to cease to feel resentment against someone. So Webster says that it's an act of giving up resentment. So in actuality, when we forgive, we choose to give up the resentment. or to claim any kind of requital, any type of retribution or any type of revenge on anyone who's inflicted us in some kind of way. Our thoughts is not get back, but our thoughts is we give up. We give up the act of resentment. We get an opportunity to do that, and that's a choice. The process of concluding resentment, indignation, or anger as a result of perceived offense, difference or mistake, or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. Again, forgiveness is basically saying we choose to give up the act of resentment. We choose to give up the act of anger. And for me, this definition has always worked. This has been my definition to understand forgiveness. When I have to exercise the act of forgiveness for someone that has injured me, the practice of letting go of any wrong, hurt, or pain inflicted by another person or entity without holding it in the soul, anger, rage, hatred, or revenge. So in other words, whenever I have been hurt, and I say this is my definition, Reverend Sharon Cheek, whenever I've been hurt, this the act of forgiveness is the act for me of letting go of the wrong. Now, I could hold on to the wrong. I could hold on to the hurt or the pain. That's an individual choice. God will never take away my will to choose or your will to choose because we're free will agents. We get an opportunity to choose to forgive. But it's the act of letting go of any hurt or any pain that has been inflicted by another person. In other words, you're not going to hold that in your soul. You're not going to hold it in your mind, your will, or your emotions, but you're going to let it go. And we're going to talk about some things that you can do to let go. So the first thing I want, if you have the handout, just to look on the side. There's a little picture and a caption with someone carrying the cross that said, "He did it just for me." Whenever I read the scriptures, I always read it in devotion and say, "He did it just for me." Everything written, "He did just for me." And when you read it, you ought to say, "He did this just for me. He went to the cross just for my sins, my shortcomings, my failures. He forgave every last one of them." And, you know, if we go back and look at our lives and look at what we've done, He did it just so that I could be free and so that I could live whole and to live healthy in His presence, because He got me back into His presence, got you back into His presence through the cross. So the beginning of the release of the gift of forgiveness into the world, it came when Jesus said, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." This was a powerful manifestation. At this moment when Jesus is on the cross, in the midst of understanding, in the midst of understanding what He was in the earth to do, what He was going to go through, what He was going to suffer, that people that He loved, the people that He reached out, the people that He surrounded Himself with, the people that He poured His life into, poured His ministry into, poured the gifts, gave them power, gave them authority. You know, He was ostracized. He was ridiculed. He was denied. You know, he just went through, and His suffering was so great. But yet He could say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And when Jesus made that statement, basically was saying, "Father, they don't even have an awareness. They have no consciousness. They don't even know what they've just done." But because they don't know, see, we live in a world where we've been so conditioned to think that when somebody does something to us, that we got to get the get back. We got to go after revenge. We're going to find a way to get them back. We've been so conditioned in the world. But here was Jesus coming into the world with no conditions and fully being able to say, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." And that same message is for all of us, because when we fell short, when we sin, when we, and we are still going to fall short of the glory of God, even after we've made Jesus the Lord of our life, we're going to fall short of the glory of God, and every day we have to ask for forgiveness. But we, too, have to extend that forgiveness. And Jesus being our model, this forgiveness and sending this forgiveness and releasing this gift of forgiveness into the world, we have to say just like Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But most of the time what we do is we have a tendency to allow that hurt or that pain to fester in our spirit, in our mind, and we literally roll it over in our mind over and over again and constantly are asking questions. Why did they do this to me? Why did it have to happen to me? They knew what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing. You know, they planned it. You know, I know they planned it. I mean, we are literally rolling this stuff back and forth in our heads. And really, if people knew better, they would do better. And when we can come to a point of awareness and come to a point of consciousness and understanding that people do what they do because they've been conditioned a certain way. And many people, we grow up in situations, we've grown up into sin, but we've grown up into situations where there's been a lot of hurt and pain. And out of that hurt and pain, people hurt other people. But we have to be able to exercise and receive this gift of forgiveness that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The second point, there must be an exercise of faith to extend the gift of forgiveness to another person or entity. And I want to start with that piece to say there must be an exercise of faith. A lot of times when we think about faith, you know, we have faith to exercise. We want to exercise our faith for when we need our bills paid. We want to exercise faith when we are believing God to bring somebody special into our lives. We want to exercise faith when we at times need healing or we're going through some challenge. We want to exercise faith and believe God, you know, to manifest for what we're believing. But we have to also use faith to exercise that faith for the gift of forgiveness. Even as we're giving and extending that gift of forgiveness, we have to extend that gift of forgiveness with the same faith that we use to believe God for the new house, the new car, the new boyfriend, the new girlfriend. We have to believe God for releasing us to extend faith and to receive the gift of forgiveness through faith, that we have to exercise our faith to do that. We have to exercise our confidence in God, because that's what faith is, confidence in God to heal us in the midst of releasing that forgiveness to someone who we say may not necessarily deserve it, but at the same time, neither did we deserve it. But yet God forgave us when Jesus went to that cross on our behalf. We must have complete trust that God will handle all that we have experienced by the actions of others. We have to remember that vengeance belongs to God. If someone has injured us, God knows how to take care of it. God can do what we can never do. God can mend the situation. God can bring conviction to the other person. But we have to trust that God can handle whatever we've gone through, that God can handle that experience by doing what needs to be done in order that we might heal through that experience. Whatever is not from faith is sin. So if we're not exercising our faith to offer the gift of forgiveness, then it's sin. If we make statements like, you don't know what they did to me. That hurt me, and I don't know if I would ever be able to forgive them. Well, you're in sin. You're not walking in faith. You're not walking in faith. If we can't extend faith to forgive, then we can't receive forgiveness if we can't give the gift of forgiveness. The word says, beloved, do not avenge yourself. In other words, don't get revenge. Don't try to go after the get back. Don't try to go after, don't passively think of ways that you can get this person back or this entity back. You know, could be you know, whatever you've experienced through an organization or a fellowship, whatever, don't look at ways that you can get back. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't think about how you're going to get someone back when you've been injured, when you've been hurt. And, you know, the hurt is real. The pain of being injured, the pain of being hurt, the pain of being betrayed, that pain is real. You can feel it. It goes through your whole body. It goes through your mind, you know, because you can feel it as you have reacted to that pain. You know, we're not robots. As believers, we can feel injury when it's been inflicted upon us. But we get an opportunity to allow God to heal that injury. And so we're not going to be focusing on revenge. Let God handle it. We got to be willing. We have to be willing to turn it over to God. And I say willing because you can keep it. I can keep it and hold on to it. But you have to be willing to give it to God and trust that God knows how to handle it and he knows what to do. And guess what? And still, in the midst of that, be kind to the person who's injured you. You don't necessarily always have to be in the same presence with that person all the time. In some instances, you are in the presence with someone who's injured you. But when you've been in the presence of someone, still continue to be kind. Don't walk on the other side of the church. Don't walk, you know, away from them. Continue to be kind. Ask God to help you to manage your feelings in such a way that you can still treat that person with kindness, treat them with love, treat them with care, even though you know that you've been hurt and you know that you've been injured. Trust God to work the situation out. The gift of forgiveness is a sacrificial offering. It is a sacrificial offering. You get the opportunity to sacrifice. You get the opportunity to extend this gift. Forgiveness is a precious gift. Everything that we do hinges upon us forgiving. And we do it because we've been forgiven. You know, just go back, if you can just think right now and bring up in your own mind for a few moments. Go back and just remember the things that you did. Go back and remember the people that you hurt. Go back and remember the lies that you may have told, somebody that you stole from, things that you said, ways in which you just injured people, even in your own house, in your own family. You know, persons that you neglected their care may not have been the best mother, father, uncle, or aunt that you could have been. And you know in your heart what you did. But yet, understand that all that you committed against God, he actually sent his son to the cross to die for that. I mean, you just think about it. Just think about it for a few moments. Anything that you can think of that you did, even when it's secret and don't nobody else know it but you and God, he actually sent Jesus to the cross for that on your behalf, on my behalf. And yet, if we could ever get to a point to say we can't forgive somebody else because they hurt us, because they did something to us, then actuality, we're in sin again and we're selfish because we're not extending what Jesus did for us. So we get an opportunity to sacrifice. So if we're hurt, sacrifice. If we're in pain, sacrifice. Extend the gift of forgiveness. And the more we extend it, the quicker we can get through the hurt and the pain. The hurt and pain is real. Acknowledge it. Your feelings are real. Acknowledge them. Don't ever let anyone say you shouldn't feel that. We feel because we hurt. We're still human. We're in these bodies. These bodies hurt. Our hearts hurt. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. There are things that people do that break our heart because we didn't expect, or we didn't even think that they would do it, but yet it happened. Now we have to decide, what am I going to do? I can hold it. I can let that stuff roll over in my mind until I'm literally sick, but I can offer the sacrifice of forgiveness and say, like the word says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, listen to this, if you forgive men, if you forgive people their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you, because guess what? You're going to sin. I'm going to sin. Sometimes it's intentional and unintentional. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you hold it, then your trespasses will not be forgiven. And many of us have trespasses that need to be forgiven that are not forgiven because we haven't offered the sacrifice. We haven't offered the gift of forgiveness to someone else. And I know, I hear it. I can hear it in spirit right now, and I can hear someone saying, but you don't know what they did. Yeah, but you know what? You did some things too. You know, our lives have not been a bed of roses. And you know, we can be nice and kind and real soft-spoken and everything, but we still sin. You know, we sin against people who really loved us, sacrificed, tried to give the best to us, and yet we sinned against them. So we have to be willing to offer this sacrifice of forgiveness, understanding that when we trespass against others, forgive them, so that when we trespass, God will forgive us. The gift of forgiveness has no limit. Somebody might be saying, you know, well, they did it over and over again. I know, but it has no limit. And I know it's difficult. Sometimes this is a very difficult concept. And this person, are you saying, you know, if somebody... Now, let's understand, I'm not saying here that if somebody is beating you, somebody is abusing you, somebody is committing domestic violence against you and just, you know, trying to take your life, that you're supposed to stand in that situation and just let them keep beating you. No, you might need to remove yourself from the situation and still trust God to heal your heart, so that you will be able to forgive that person for what they've done and for what they've done to you. So forgiveness has no limits. So in other words, if someone does a wrong, you forgive them. Someone may not commit the same wrong. It may be a person, same person, who commits another wrong. Forgive them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Peter would say, seven times is the limit. You know, if he does it seven times, for Peter, that was the limit. But Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times. He says, but up to 70 times seven. So in other words, he was saying forgiveness has no limit. Forgiveness has no limit. So if someone sins against you, forgive them. You know, there might be a time that we got to rebuke them and help them to understand what they're doing. Because remember, they don't know what they're doing. So we got to help. Sometimes we got to help people to understand what they're doing and recognize and help them to recognize that they've committed offenses over and over and over again against you. And we have to be able to do that in love and to be able to bring that correction in love. Where it says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, correct her. Don't let it just go on and fester. Because, see, that's usually the problem, something in the body of Christ that we don't do what the word says do. If your brother or your sister offends you, if someone injures you, go to that person in private and share with them what they've done. If they are not willing to hear what you have to say, it says take one other person with you. Take another person with you. And if they're not willing to hear that person, take it to the church. some people have to be rebuked openly, but rebuked in love, not for ridicule. But when people are offending the body, offending the whole house of God, and their sin is causing detriment to the body, that person has to be corrected. And the correction is in love. There's something about even today that we have this authority challenge and that we feel there are times that we can just do anything without correction. And Jesus even corrects us. Sometimes God allows us to go through things to correct us and discipline us. But he said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Let him know, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I extend the forgiveness. Someone wounds you, extend the forgiveness. If that person, accepts it, fine. If they don't, if you've extended the forgiveness, there's nothing that you can do about someone not forgiving you because you're only responsible. I am only responsible for my own actions. You are only responsible for your actions. So if someone forgives, comes to you and needs forgiveness or desires forgiveness, forgive them. If you hurt someone and you go to them for forgiveness and they decide to receive it, then both of you have restored the fellowship. If that person decides not to forgive, that's not on you. It's on them because they haven't decided to release. And you can't do anything about someone else's will. You can only do something about yours. You've extended that forgiveness. And if he sins against you, he says seven times a day, and seven times a day he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Is that hard? You better believe it. You better believe it. But if we go back to what Jesus said, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Some people struggle in their own mind. Some people struggle with conditioned behaviors. Some people don't know how to be in family. They don't know how to be in relationship. Some people's wounds are so deep. Their soul has been fractured to such a way that they can commit offenses over and over again and sometimes not even realize what they're doing. But they've been conditioned in that way of life. That's why we have to get into the Word. That's the importance of renewing ourselves daily with the Word, because the Word washes our soul. The Word heals our soul. And the more we're in the Word, the more we get to uproot some of this stuff that, some people didn't cause it, didn't do anything to cause us to be a certain way. Some stuff we learned as we were growing up, some of the injuries that we've gone through that we bring to the house of God, people, we bring all of our sins, all of our sickness, all of our diseases, all of that comes with us when we come to the house of God. And that's why the house of God should be a place where we do soul healing, because it's out of our soul wounding that we hurt others, that we injure others, and there's a need for us to extend that forgiveness. If we can remember, all of us have soul wounds. All of us have stuff that we're going to have to work on. And we injure people. We don't keep our word. We might say some things. We say some things sharply. We criticize. We're never satisfied. Those are things that we got to deal with in our own soul, but those things cause injury. And we may have to ask someone to forgive us when we've injured them. The lack of offering the gift of forgiveness will hinder our petitions in prayer. Sometimes when I hear people talking about being mighty warriors in prayer and I watch how they treat people, I say something is wrong. We can't be mighty warriors in prayer and injure people. And injuring people and not extending or even going or even recognizing that we just offended someone or hurt someone. And really, it doesn't matter who you are and what level we are. When we are injuring people and we are still praying over those injuries, something is wrong. We can still go up and offer prayers. We can still lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. And yet we got a brother or sister that is injured because of our actions, and we do nothing about it. And we actually wonder why certain things are not manifesting in our lives and why our prayers are not being answered. We might have to look at whether or not if we are holding something, if we have hurt someone and we haven't dealt with that. Not forgiving will hinder our prayers being answered. This is the word says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, now that's anything. There was no qualifications there. If you have anything, some people, you know, dislike people, do things against people just because. You know, just because of the way that they look, they don't like them. Some people project all of their insecurities on other people and injure other people because of stuff that they won't deal with in their own life. But if you stand, if you have anything against someone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. He says this, when you stand praying, this is connected to prayer. When you stand praying, we can't leave a prayer moment and say, I can't stand her. Whatever your prayers were, I can't stand him, or, you know, I don't agree with what they're doing. You know, this is a bunch of mess. And, you know, I mean, just people say all kinds of things. But when we stand praying, forgive. If God convicts your heart at that altar, if God convicts your heart and you recognize that, you know what, I have injured someone and I have to ask for their forgiveness, or someone has injured me and I need to go and share with them what they've done. I had a lady that called me up couple of months back, and I, you know, and she's just a very sweet person. But she called me up. She didn't really call me. She sent me a note, and she said, Reverend Sharon, I just want to say to you, she told me, you know, shared some things about my gift, and she said, I was going through a situation, and my daughter was going through a situation, and she said, we reached out. And she said, we reached out and we heard from you. And she said, but you were supposed to get back with us and you never did. And I do remember, and I had to say to her, you know, I do remember that call. And I shared with her, and I think I got caught up in my own situations and circumstances, and I forgot to return that call. But what I said to her, and I said, I would ask if you would forgive me for that. Because I do remember that I was to return that call. And we shared our words, you know, over the phone. We shared words back in text. And when we saw each other, we said to each other, when we see each other, we're going to reach out and we're going to hug one another. And when we saw each other, that's exactly what we did. Because we're all subject to do something that someone else might be offended by our act. I didn't do it intentionally, but she was hurt by it. And so, you know, I wasn't going to sit back and justify, oh, well, you know, I had other things to do. And, you know, I mean, you know, I can't be there for everybody. And, you know, I could have, you know, come out of my flesh, but that wouldn't have served God's purpose. And it definitely wouldn't have glorified God. She was writing what she said, and she felt injured by me, and I extended that forgiveness, and she extended the gift of forgiveness to me. And to this day, we see each other, we still hug, and we still embrace, and she still encourages me. I see her as a mother in the faith. So there are people that sometimes we may not even know. Sometimes we are holding things against people. They don't even know we're injured. They don't even know that they did anything, because we're holding it. And we sometimes we do this for years, and then we go to that person and finally go to them, and they say, I didn't even know. I didn't know that I'd hurt you by what I said. But you held on to all of that for all of those years, you know, or months, years against them. So we have to extend the forgiveness. And the last point, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary must be modeled by his kingdom citizens. And we are kingdom children. We are kingdom citizens. We are ambassadors in the earth. There's no way that an ambassador can walk around and not forgive, because an ambassador understands what has happened. We all were born into sin, shaped in iniquity. Born into sin, came through our mother's wombs in sin. We didn't come filled with the Holy Ghost. We came in sin. And as ambassadors who've been reborn by the power of God's divine spirit, we know and understand from the word of God and our reading and going into the scriptures, meditating in it day and night, we have to take the master's message to the world. His message is forgiveness. His message is forgiveness. And so we have to take that into the earth. This is our mandate, because we have a mandate to heal the world. We got to take healing to the world. But if we are full of unforgiveness, there is no way that we can manifest healing. We cannot manifest healing if we are full of unforgiveness. As a matter of fact, if we're full of unforgiveness, we're full of disease. There are many diseases that manifest in our body as a result of unforgiveness. And so we got to look at, you know, what we've been called to do as kingdom citizens. We bear with one another, and we forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. We must do it. This is what Jesus requires of us. Why? Because if we say that we are models of Christ, we're an example of Christ, we have to do what Christ did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As kingdom citizens, we bear in our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions, the pain and the suffering that has been inflicted upon us in our families, friendships, associations, and workplaces. No matter where the suffering has taken place, it will never, ever amount to the suffering that Jesus went through on the cross of Calvary. You will never suffer the way that Jesus suffered. You will never, ever in your lifetime suffer the way that Jesus suffered. And even when we say that you don't know my suffering, you don't know Jesus' suffering either. And you will never match that. Jesus suffered on the cross of Calvary. There are disciplines. There are things that we can do to incorporate into our devotional life that will assist us with letting go of hurt and pain so as not to store that pain in our souls. Stored pain becomes physical disease. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Research is showing it. Medical science is showing it. When we hold things in our body, it will manifest in disease. Arthritis, anxiety, panic attacks, no matter what you name it, physical diseases that have no organic origin. If we connect it back to the emotions, connect it back to some things that people are going through, you can look and see there's a root of unforgiveness somewhere in their life. Stored pain becomes disease. Not offering the gift of forgiveness is your choice, but God has promised to heal any pain that we might go through by faith in Jesus' name when we forgive. Do it by faith. Because we say like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, co-pastor. We're going to open it up for any questions that anyone may have, but I've got two, and I don't know how you want to address them, but you talked a lot about forgiving others, just you know, not holding on to things, saying I'm sorry. But I know it's difficult to forgive other people when you're carrying your own baggage. You got your own stuff, and you really haven't forgiven yourself. And so I'm just wondering, can you genuinely forgive other people when there are some things in your own life that, you know, there's some shame, there's some hurt that you haven't forgiven yourself for? So that's my first question. And secondly, this idea of repentance and forgiveness, is saying I'm sorry enough? Is that enough? Because I don't know if it's enough. I guess I need some clarity on that. And I heard you say, as many times as someone says they're sorry, we're supposed to be open to it. But is just the words, I'm sorry, enough? And those are my two questions. And so after you ask, after she answers those questions, please, you can unmute your phone if you have a question. And I would encourage those who are on the line, whether you are just visiting with us, sharing with us from another church or whatever, to go ahead and pose your questions to co-pastor, and I'm sure she'll do the best she can to answer. So we'll open the line up, but I presented those two questions, co-pastor.
Okay. Well, let me just say thank you. Thank you for that. To answer that first question, you know, when Jesus said in Mark 11:25-26, when you stand praying, you know, and there's another translation that says, you know, before you offer your gift. But when you think about when we are not dealing with the things that we've gone through in our own lives, when we are not processing any of that, when we're not willing to heal the hurts of our lives, whether it's hurts that have come as a result of what we've gone through in our families, because that's where a lot of it begins. When we've gone through hurts in our families and in our relationships with significant people, when we don't deal with those hurts, when we don't deal with those pains, and when we don't deal with things that maybe even we've done in the process to continue to injure ourselves, yes, it does become very difficult to extend forgiveness to others because we don't have a clear model or the act of forgiving ourselves for things that we've done and even for things that other people have done to us, because some injuries that we experience have been inflicted by people that we thought were going to be caring and loving us, and they did things out of their own conditioning, you know, out of what they understood and what they knew. And sometimes people did things that they didn't, you know, necessarily know that it was injurious because it's all they knew. But we have to be able to forgive ourselves for things that we've done. And as we do that, as we forgive ourselves, we forgive others. We extend that same forgiveness to others. I think that if we keep the cross in our view, keep the cross in our view, God literally will unleash revelation in our souls to help us to understand what he really did for us so that we can extend that forgiveness to other people. So we have to forgive ourselves and then extend that to others. As it relates to people saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, there has to be a point where we repent and turn away from, because that's what repentance is. Repentance is turning around, turning things. You know, when you repent, you know, you make a 180-degree turnaround. You're not going down the same path and going back over and over and over again with that same thing. Because truly, at that point, when you've repented, you haven't really repented. Because repentance brings about change and transformation. But will that same person do something else that could offend? Yes. So if that same individual do something to offend, it may not be the same offense. It could be something different. If they do something different, forgive them. If they ask for the forgiveness, forgive them. And, you know, again, if they repeat something that's different, forgive them. But, you know, teach and train and help people to understand what it means to forgive and what it means to repent. Because repentance means you're really going to be working at not committing that sin over and over and over again. But if I sin against you multiple times, the word says extend the forgiveness. Is that difficult at times? Of course it is. But when we know what the cross did, we extend that forgiveness. We extend it.
Okay, thank you, co-pastor. If there are others on the line who have a question or concern, we have about 6 minutes. So if there are other persons, just unmute your phone and pose your question or make your comment.
Well, Ms. Sharon, this is Stephanie.
Hey,
what if you forgive that person and that person doesn't necessarily accept it? And you still, I guess you're still hanging on to the situation. Is that supposed to hang on to you, or you're supposed to let it go and just let it be?
Yes, thank you for that, Stephanie. When you have extended forgiveness, remember, forgiveness is two ways. It's a two-way street, in a sense. Forgiveness, when you extend it, and you extend that gift of forgiveness, and someone that you're extending it to doesn't receive it, that is not your responsibility nor burden to carry.
Okay.
Your responsibility was to offer the gift. And you offered the gift. Now, that person, God has to do something within their soul to receive it. So there's something still broken, something in them that has, you know, brought them to a point. Maybe there's an anger, maybe there's resentment, that they're not ready to receive what you're offering. But
okay.
You don't have to carry the burden of that. And you have to be willing to release yourself from that burden and not carry the guilt. Because, see, some people, you know, unfortunately can be addicted to drama. They can be addicted to just revenge and holding things because that's how they've been nurtured.
Okay.
And so you have to be willing to let go and not hold on to why is this person not forgiving me. When you've extended it, you trust God to do what needs to be done in that individual. Once you've extended the gift of forgiveness, you've done your part.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Reverend Sharon. This is Tammy. How are you?
Hey, Tammy. How, good.
I just wanted to say I don't have a per se a question. I just wanted to say thank you very much, because I've never looked at the cross in this way, and I'm just glad I have the handout that I can continue to look at and study and even learn about the forgiveness and the cross as much as I need to, and for the scripture references given. So I just wanted to say thank you very much.
Thank you, Tammy.
Reverend Sharon, this is Sister Gloria.
Hi, Sister Gloria.
A couple of things here. I'm understanding that you're to go to this person and ask for forgiveness. What if you can't get to them? And the other part is, what if this person has passed on?
Uh-huh.
So from sort of two perspectives, and, you know, there's a saying we should never, you know, go to sleep angry and without asking for forgiveness. And, you know, my thought is that if I am upset at someone and they pass on and I've never had a chance to ask them for forgiveness, how is that to be handled?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for that. It can be done in spirit because the person is gone. They've passed on. There was something that was done that injured, whether it was you or that individual. And what you do in spirit and in prayer is you bring that issue to God in prayer and share openly, share what happened. Because, see, what you're doing at that moment is you're actually getting it out of your soul. Because that offense, that injury is still in your soul. It's still a part of your, it's like it attaches itself to your body, even to the energy of your body. You know, it attaches itself to your mind, will, and emotions. And so what you want to do is in prayer, ask God to heal you and to forgive you or to forgive that person. For whatever that offense, name the offense, that offense. Name what the injury was. Name what the pain was. And once you do that, you practice releasing exercises. Sometimes you have to release those things over and over again and just call the person's name and say, I release you. I forgive you. You do it over and over. And you do it until you no longer feel whatever you felt or were feeling. As it relates to, because I use like these releasing exercises, and sometimes it's just saying it over and over. I forgive you for whatever you've done. Name the injury and release it. Have you ever seen people like, you know, sometimes at funeral people release doves as, you know, an act of that person's soul? You know, you can release doves. You can release balloons. You can release things in your spirit. And in your imagination to say, I release this person and I release whatever happened. But name it. And if you have to repeat a releasing exercise over and over again, just do that until it's no longer there and you're not carrying any guilt from it.
Thank you. We have this mandate. We don't have a choice. If we are expecting our Father to forgive our trespasses, it's very clear what we have to do.
Yes.
And sometimes it is not easy. But thank
That's
you
exactly
so much.
Right. You're
thank
welcome.
You.
And it's not. Forgiveness, you know, don't ever think in your mind that, oh, you know, this is an easy piece to do. It's not easy. It's not easy, but if we do it in faith, not do it because of our feelings, because your feelings are not going to, you're not going to feel it. Don't look to feel it. You won't feel it. But if you do it in faith and simply call the situation, call the name, call what the offense is, and share that to God in prayer, and if you get a chance to go to that person, then you talk to them about it. But you release it by faith, and you say, you can say, I release this by faith. I release this person. And then ask God if the person is alive, if you can, if there's no hostility, no aggression, and you can get in this person's company and share, ask God to help you to do that and to do it in love. Because you don't want to go in anger and aggression. You want to go in peace. Because we're peacemakers. Ambassadors are peacemakers. We don't go with aggression. That's gone. That's dead. That's a part of our old life. The new life is peace. And when we go in peace with, you know, an injury, sharing out of love how you feel, you're not responsible for somebody else's aggression. You're only responsible for your own when you go. But do it in love. Do it in peace. And sometimes you can go in peace and people still have walls of defense. You have to ask, you have to trust God to deal with that. Some people are not ready to accept the fact that they could injure another people because of their maybe their pride, maybe their arrogance, maybe they're very ego and selfish driven. But forgiveness is not an easy thing to do, but we can do it so that we keep our flow. See, we want to keep a flow. You want to keep the blessings and the Spirit of God flowing, you know, in our lives. And you don't want to ever block your flow. And you block your own flow. And the flow of the Spirit and the flow of what God has to do through you when we don't forgive.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, Pastor Sharon. This is Gina. I want to thank Ms. Hite for bringing up forgiving, you know, how we go about forgiving others that have passed on. I guess you could say I've been carrying a burden for over 35 years. A situation arose in my life, and I know I hurt my parents, and before I was able to apologize, my father passed. And again, this was 1979, and I have not been able to let go of that.
Thank you for sharing that. So you've carried guilt.
Yes.
And how has that benefited you?
It hasn't.
Okay.
But I have not been able to, I guess, forgive myself for hurting my parents.
Okay. And that's, I think, Dr. Huggins brought up, you know, it's very difficult to extend forgiveness when you don't forgive yourself.
Yes.
You have to be willing. You have to be willing because you still have a choice. You can hold it for another 35 years. But you have to be willing to forgive yourself for what you did. You got to release yourself from that. And if you need to do a spiritual exercise, do a spiritual exercise of letting go, just similar to what I shared. Just talk to God and talk to God about what you did to your parents. What happened? Be open. Be honest about it. Be transparent. And if you can share with another person that you trust, share what you did. Because, see, when we confess our faults to one another, pray for one another, the word says we shall be healed. And so right now you need to be healed. But if you confess it, if you confess it and trust God to release those feelings, because let me tell you this, He's already taking care of what you did to your parents. That went with Him on the cross. He took care of it. He's not going to do anything else about what you did to your parents. But now you have to let go of what you did to your parents. And if you hold on to it, it's your choice. But you can let it go. And guess what? When you cast that thing away and you cast it into the sea of forgiveness, He's forgotten about it too. He's not holding you hostage for what you did to your parents. You're holding yourself hostage. So it's just simply a matter of you going to God with it and then trusting that you are released. And in the name of Jesus, I free you from that sin. Because you know we have the authority to do that. You're free, really. But there are forces that don't want you to be free. You are a kingdom citizen. You are free already. You have the authority to speak your own freedom. And you can simply say and call your parents' names out and say, forgive me for what I did. Lord, forgive me for what I did to my parents. And then free yourself and go on and help get somebody else free as a kingdom citizen. Because you can't help someone else to get free if you don't get free. And as a kingdom citizen, you have a mandate to help others get free. And they have to know what Jesus did on this cross for our freedom. You are free. You are free. Because you've already been forgiven. Just receive it. You've already been forgiven. It's over.
Thank you.
Yeah. God bless you.
Reverend Sharon, this is Danny.
Hey, Danny.
I don't necessarily, how you doing? I don't necessarily have a question, but what I've come to learn in regards to myself, it doesn't speak to anyone else, or it's just on how I'm able to cope with things. If someone was to hurt my feelings or to do something to unnerve me, I tend to, I've learned to just say, you know, just take a deep breath and then just say, thank you, Jesus. And I just let it go. I just let everything go. And I feel so much better than to hold on or to be angered by what has just happened. Because when I notice is when I get angry, I get headaches, and I don't like headaches. So mm-hmm. once I take a deep breath and I just say thank you, Jesus, and really mean it, I feel so much better, and I just move on with my day as if it didn't even happen.
Mhm. Yeah, that's a really good exercise, because one, you've given praise, because the word says, give thanks in all things, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you give thanks, and then you release it. That's a very powerful exercise, to give thanks and then let it go. Because you feel it in your body. When you were saying, when you hold it, you get headaches. See, emotional things manifest in some type of physical illness. And if we hold these things for years, when we look at our bodies and we see that we got stuff going on in it, we got to begin to look at what we're holding in. But you said, I praise God and I let it go. That's a wonderful exercise. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know how to come in to make a comment.
Okay.
Wasn't sure. I'm new to this. I just got this information yesterday, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm an emotional person, so I wear my heart on my sleeve, as they say.
Okay.
But this has been This conversation and everything that everyone had to say, you know, was really heartfelt and very nourishing for me today, because I always feel I have a lot of growing to do, and I've been through a lot of things in my life, and I want to stick with this program here. I think it's going to be pretty healthy for me. I need it because I guess I have held a lot of things in, and I'm a very I have a lot of ailments. And I'm just hearing that it probably came from being such a worrying person. So I'm glad that I had this opportunity to join all of you. I mean, everyone, because I know this is what I need today. And is this weekly or monthly? I need to ask that because I want to continue to join in on this.
This is every Monday. Every Monday.
Every
from
Monday.
7,
okay.
Every Monday right. night until April 24th.
My name is Yvette. I am Yvette, but I'm so grateful to you all. I'm grateful to all of you because, you know, you pull something from everybody, especially when you live the life that you worry about everything. You know.
Yeah.
So you kind of pull something from every comment. And I just pray that it gets better for me. And I'm sure as long as I continue to be with this type of conference that it will get better. So thank you to all of you.
God bless you. And I just pray for your healing. Ask God to search any area of your life and your heart. And ask him to show you anything that you need to put on the altar. You know, he stands ready to heal you. He stands ready to heal you. That's what we do. That's a part of what we do as kingdom citizens. We help people to get healed. And so we are so glad that you are on this line. And we pray for your healing right now in Jesus' name, that God would move on your behalf. And I pray right now that God will begin to move in your mind, in your body, in your emotions, and that God will go to any root in your life and that he will begin to heal it and that he will pluck up anything that has caused you pain or worry that has manifested in the form of disease and sicknesses. We take authority over it right now in the holy name of Jesus. The name that is above every name, the name that died for you to be set free. And so I pray that you would get connected to this church, if you're already connected to it, and that you would receive your healing and receive this word. And the more words you get in, the more words you put in, he sent his word to heal us and to deliver us out of all of our diseases, no matter what they are. He can heal your body, your mind, and your soul. You just keep it at the altar and trust that he will do that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, co-pastor. Thank you for those of you who called in on tonight. I believe that we've gone over a little bit, but it allowed God to accomplish what he needed to accomplish on this call on tonight. And I'm really grateful to you, co-pastor, for sharing with us on tonight, and I sense that on this call, on this night, a lot of people were wrestling with some things and now have some better direction and know to seek the face of God. So again, I want to say thank you to all of our extended church family, all of our neighbors, our friends, our family, other pastors, other churches. Thank you for calling in. We're on the call each Monday night from 7 to 8 o'clock, and there are various topics and themes that we focus on, and you can find that on our website as well as the handouts from our presenters. If you want to go and download the handout, you certainly can do that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we come before your presence tonight, God. We thank you for what you have accomplished through this time of sharing together. God, I pray right now that you would first, God, forgive me of anything that I may have done, knowingly or unknowingly. And God, I pray that in this moment, that you would search my heart. Help me and strengthen me, God, not to do those things that would cause injury to others, but continue to heal me of my own injuries, God, that I might serve your people. And then, God, there are others on this line on tonight who found, God, that they are yet still wounded, but they discovered that you are still a healer. So, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that we would first learn to forgive ourselves, God, and then seek opportunities every chance we get to repent of those things that would keep us from growing and being the kingdom citizens that you have assigned, destined, and called us to be. God, I pray right now that you would continue to heal Gina, continue to open her heart, God, to reconcile in a way, God, that's on a spiritual level with her parents, God, and that you will continue to grow her in your word. Thank you for Yvette tonight who joined us and shared with us, God, and we've already prayed for her, God, but there are needs that you know of that we ask right now, God, that you would minister to. And then there may be others who didn't share on tonight, but are leaving this call, God, wrestling with some things. I pray, God, that you would make the struggle easy. But in the struggle, God, we pray that you would show us the need for forgiveness because you've already died that we might be free. Finally, God, we thank you for the Reverend Sharon Cheek. I pray, God, that you would continue to bless her, anoint her, God. You are working such miracles in her life, God, and she's extending those to other people around her. Continue to use her as a prophetic voice in this day, God. We pray that no demon, no force would come against her and that she would continue to minister to your glory and your honor. And thank you, God. Thank you for the people, God, who seek to be witnesses of your kingdom. Continue to be with us and keep us. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.